Where to begin? How to start? You stand in front of a bay window, feeling the warmth of the carpet under your bare feet. The sun is rising. You take a sip of tea as you gaze out the window. Overnight, the world transformed into a winter wonderland. Nothing but snowdrifts upon snowdrifts. The cold winter weather swirls, blowing the snow, creating drifts the size of cathedrals in your front yard. The sight is remarkable and frightening. Nature, such a thing of beauty and terror, best observed from a warm and comfortable distance. You take another sip and turn your thoughts towards the morning task, writing a chapter book about the most influential women in history. You want to take the day off. You want to take this moment and hold it. You want to be lost in the beauty of the formidable snowdrifts. A sobering thought itches at the back of your head. Unfortunately, you are working with a deadline, and there cannot be a single day of rest. Too many days off, you speak softly into the mug, unchanging eyes. I can rest when it's over. The project is far too important. But then, there is this view. You will work today. Yes, this is true. Your workstation is in the next room, no more than 15 paces away. But the way the sun reflects the bright glimmer of the snowdrifts has you intoxicated and pensive. Chapter 1. Florence Nightingale, 1820 to 1910. As a pioneer of modern nursing, Florence Nightingale greatly influenced the compassionate care of patients and hospital sanitation in the 19th and 20th centuries. During the Crimean War, Florence improved hospital hygiene practices, significantly lowering death rates. She was known as the Lady with the Lamp, ministering quietly in the darkest hours. In 1980, a psychological phenomenon was named after Florence. The Florence Nightingale syndrome is a psychological complex when an individual caring for another individual develops romantic and oftentimes erotic feelings for them. The Florence Nightingale syndrome can also occur when the patient develops romantic feelings for their caretaker as they begin to see them as their protector. This symptom is indicative of Florence's utmost dedication to the protection and well-being of her patients. Chapter 2. Marie Curie, 1867 to 1934. Marie Curie earned fame for her discovery of radium and her research on radioactivity. She and her husband, Pierre, also worked together to discover polonium. During World War I, she developed mobile X-ray units for use in field hospitals. Unaware of the dangers of radiation until it was too late, Marie died from its effects at the age of 66. Marie Curie was the first woman to win a Nobel Prize, the first person to win a Nobel Prize twice, and the first person to ever win in two fields, physics and chemistry. Marie's influence on modern physics is not only omnipotent, but her work is still highly regarded and lauded by academics, scholars, and biographers. Chapter 3. Selena Perez, 1971 to 1995. Selena Perez is one of the most famous Mexican-American entertainers of all time. She helped popularize the Tejano music in the U.S. and won a Tejano Music Award when she was only 15. She became a fashion icon, designing and selling her own clothes. Selena won a Grammy in 1994 for Best Mexican American Album. It included one of her most famous songs, Como La Flor. Selena paved the way for other Latina performers such as Margot Ray, Mrs. Hips Don't Lie, Shakira, and good old Jenny from the Block, Jennifer Lopez, who portrayed Selena in the 1997 biographical film titled Selena. After being murdered on April 16th, her birthday, by Yolanda Saldivar, the president of Selena's fan club, eventually the day became recognized in Texas as Selena Day. She was 23 years old. Still standing in front of the window, mug in hand, the sun rising in the distance, inspired by the visual, you contemplate the significance of your project. For decades, centuries even, women's influence on science, politics, art, literature, psychology, anthropology have been largely ignored. What would modern life be without these intrepid and noteworthy individuals? The sun reflects off the nearest snowdrift, brushing back the shadows, exposing its shape and texture in new and fascinating ways. You sip from the mug and stare. Chapter 4. Julia Child, 1912 to 2004. During World War II, Julia worked as a spy for the Office of Strategic Services, which became the basis for the American CIA. For her duty and service during wartime, Julia received an award that cited her many virtues. Cheerfulness was one of the listed virtues. In 1951, Julia graduated from a prestigious French cooking school. After her graduation, she became a private student to some of the biggest master chefs of the time. Before the publication of Julia Child's 726-page Mastering the Art of French Cooking in 1961, most Americans didn't know what an omelet was. But when she cooked one during a guest appearance on a book review show, it launched a culinary sensation. Julia Child is responsible for creating the first broadcasted and syndicated cooking show. The French Chef ran on public television for 10 years, where she not only taught Americans how to prepare and appreciate fine cuisine, but created a television sensation that would allow for food and cooking exclusive channel programming, such as the Food Network. Chapter 5. Jane Goodall, 1934 to present. Jane Goodall is one of the first women to become a primatologist. Jane is a pioneer. Jane knew at a very young age that she was destined to work with animals. She yearned to become an anthropologist before she was old enough to even understand what anthropology is. During that time period, a little girl expressing any desire to work in anthropology would call for an immediate subversion of her interest, as women weren't really welcomed into the field until the late 1950s. One time, while just a girl, Jane's mother had to accompany her to Gombe Stream National Park because the British government wouldn't allow a young woman to travel alone in the area. Jane spent years studying primates in the United Republic of Tanzania, located in East Africa. During her time, it was common practice among primatologists to assign a number to each primate involved in their studies. Jane set herself apart, breaking the conventional numbering tradition by assigning names to her primates, therefore opening the door for emotional attachment and bonding between herself and the chimpanzee society. Jane's persistent work in research transformed our understanding of chimpanzees, writing about how they make tools, eat, hunt, and exhibit social behaviors that are very close to humans. Her research found that it isn't only human beings who have personality, who are capable of rational thought, and experience complex emotions like sorrow and joy, but primates can perform and experience all of these things and more. Chapter 6. Frida Kahlo, 1907 to 1954. Frida Kahlo was one of Mexico's greatest artists, an icon of female creativity and a role model of female independence. At 18, Frida was severely injured in a bus accident, causing her lifelong physical pain. Bedridden for months, Frida started painting using a specially made easel that allowed her to create while remaining in bed. Painting became a way for Frida to explore questions of identity and existence. Early on, Frida developed an interest in capturing the human essence. At her request, a mirror was placed above the easel so that she could paint self-portraits. She explained, "I paint myself because I am often alone and I am the subject I know best." She later stated that the accident and the isolating recovery period made her desire to begin again, painting things just as she saw them, with her own eyes and nothing more. Later in life, Frida drew inspiration from Mexico's folk culture and people. Her technique usurped conventional representations by frequently mixing fantasy and realism with autobiographical elements. Frida's art explored concepts such as identity, gender, class, and race within Mexican society. Her art was not merely aesthetically pleasing, but it challenged, influenced, and transformed an entire generation. Chapter 7. Joan of Arc, 1412 to 1431. Joan was born in the Duchy of Bar, a portion of land located in northeastern France. She was born into a peasant family. At a young age, Joan claimed to be guided by visions brought to her by the archangel Michael, Saint Margaret, and Saint Catherine. Her visions promised that Joan, a teenage girl, would inspire the country and lead France into breaking the long-standing English subjugation. French morale was at an all-time low. Years of unsuccessful conflicts against the English left the French army demoralized, uninspired, and eager to give up the cause. A prophecy grew in the French countryside, a prophecy promising that an armed virgin would emerge to save France. Due to the growing rumors of prophecy, a teenage girl, armed with her visions, devotion, and purity, found favor with King Charles VII. This teenage farm girl led French forces in several battles. Joan led troops at the Battle of Orléans, resulting in the capturing of Saint-Jean-le-Blanc, a heavily fortified commune. Despite taking an arrow to the shoulder, Joan continued to encourage the militia and press the offensive. At the end, English forces retreated. France proved to be a formidable foe. The conflict inspired and provided hope to a demoralized nation. Joan's devotion to her faith and unrelenting courage assisted in turning the tide of the Hundred Years' War for France. On May 23, 1430, Joan and 400 troops attacked an English camp at Marny. The attack failed, and Joan was captured. The English charged her with blasphemy and heresy. Due to her admission of visions and her male clothing, cross-dressing was viewed as deplorable and thoroughly unchristian, the English portrayed her as a maniac, a sinful woman suffering from demonic visions. Joan remained resolute in her faith, claiming that she would be judged by God, not her oppressors. Despite her plea, King Charles VII didn't intervene, and Joan was publicly burned at the stake. She was 19 years old. The 1999 film, The Messenger, The Story of Joan of Arc, not only focuses on Joan's struggles as a woman living in a male world, but on her spirituality and call by God to become something bigger than herself. Joan's devotion to her beliefs and country made her a martyr, a symbol of freedom, an early feminist, and a legend. Also known as the Maid of Orléans, in 1920, Joan was declared a Catholic saint and to this day remains a symbol of French unity and pride. Your mug rests on the desk beside you, now empty. Another beautiful day has begun. History owes a great debt to the female meta-narrative. Women like Jane Goodall and Marie Curie only represent the tip to an unending iceberg of women who struggled and stumbled uphill to achieve personal and/or professional greatness. Women led by God, women led by ambition, women led by courage. women that answered the call by carrying the torch, illuminating the way for others. These women are the snowflakes of life, beautiful, interesting, and unique. Seated at your workstation, you begin to type, slowly at first, but picking up speed. Just as snowdrifts are the sum of their parts, modern life is the sum of its influencers, male, female, and everything in between. After all, what is a snowdrift without its multitude of snowflakes? Released in 2022 by Underdog Games, Her Story, Iconic Women of History, is a competitive card drafting and tableau building game for 2 to 5 players. To copy Will Wheaton's lead-in on his YouTube show, Tabletop, RIP, in the story of the game, you are a writer tasked with writing a chapter book about amazing women from all backgrounds, ethnicities, time periods, education, and geological positioning that impacted history in imperative and undeniable ways. At its core, Her Story is a card drafting game. Each card is a representation of an iconic woman from history. The object of the game is to be the player with the most victory points after 8 chapters. The game is played in rounds. On a player's turn, there are 4 possible actions. 1. Research, where the player selects a research token from the board and adds it to their pool. Research tokens assist players by providing them specific icons. 2. Use a library card, a 2-time per game use that wipes the current selection of resource tokens and replacing them with new ones drawn from a bag. After placing the new tokens, the player is then awarded the opportunity of adding 1 to their pool. 3. Draft a chapter. Taking a card from the main board, also known as the idea board, and adding it to a draft area where it is protected from being selected by other players. Each player board includes 2 card slots for drafting. 4. Complete a chapter. Paying the required research symbols on either a card from the idea board or a player's personal draft area. Each card represents a specific chapter in your story. The first card is chapter 1, second is chapter 2, and so on. Points are scored based on the card. However, if a player has what I like to call exact change to pay for a card, they score an additional 3 points. Once the game is completed, players compile all of their chapter cards into a single deck, flip them over, and then read the printed bios of the women selected to be in the players' chapter books. This aspect, despite having nothing to do with the actual gameplay, is really quite cool. Ever since playing Spy Club, where after a campaign of 5 games, players are encouraged to sit for 5 minutes and come up with a silly crime story using objects, locations, motives, and individuals from each game, I've enjoyed the additional unique experiences modern tabletop games offer. This transcends Her Story from not only being a game, but being in it. I'd like to take a pause for the cause, switch gears for a moment, if I may, and reference the highly popular animated series, The Simpsons. The bad news is that the reference is more of a visual gimmick, not quite suited for an audio podcast. The good news is that it's from classic Simpsons, as the show has been virtually unwatchable for well over a decade. In the 5th season, Bart and Lisa visit a toy store. Bart finds a console hooked up for patrons to play. He begins to play. The video game is a map of the United States, where the goal is for Bart to nuke all of the state capitals. As soon as he sees the explosion and the city's burning to the ground, he is overcome with excitement. "Awesome! I'm blasting all the state capitals," he says, while frantically manipulating the controller to spread complete annihilation. After a moment, he pauses. "Wait a minute. This game's educational." Feeling cheated, he turns angry and throws the controller at the screen, shouting, "That'll teach you to teach me." So, why am I making this reference? Listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat things, but playing Her Story automatically reminded me of Bart at the toy store. Sometimes a game designer wants to hammer you over the head with the fact that their game is supposed to be educational, that they forget to actually design the game. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a complete cynic. Some games get it right. They start with a solid foundation of gameplay, and the educational aspect comes on real subtle. In one of my previous episodes, I reviewed Mystery Tales, a narrative campaign expansion for Robinson Crusoe. The story behind Mystery Tales is based on actual explorers and historical events. Now, I won't get into everything again because I already did a full episode on Mystery Tales. The point is that the balance between engaging gameplay and learning can come together in beautiful, entertaining, and memorable ways. I'm not much of a video gamer, but I have played a good swath of the Assassin's Creed series. I would cite Assassin's Creed as another excellent example of balance in a game's execution. So, what does this mean for her story? Well, let's face it, the game is a gimmick. Sure, you're going to find an audience that deems it hella cool that somebody designed a game about influential women. Yeah, sure, I get that. Hell, that's why I bought the game. However, since this is my show, and I like to consider myself a seasoned gamer, the gameplay here is an absolute snooze fest. Not only does her story not bring anything new to the table, but it refuses to do what it does in an entertaining way. Uninspired game design. Yuck. There are games currently on shelves that not only do what her story does, but executes it in far more entertaining, interesting, and provocative ways. Honestly, her story is perfect for librarians to have in their school library, history teachers to use in the classroom, or families looking for a way to get their younger gamers to the table. While I do not deny her story's existence and significance, given the right scenario, I simply cannot recommend the game for anyone outside of the previously mentioned situations. For regular gamers, when you get over the gimmick and get the game to the table, well, just like Bart, you realize you've been had. Okay, so on the plus side, her story's presentation is top-notch. The cards, the artwork, the individual player boards, the neoprene game board, everything looks great. The production company spared no expense. And let's face it, the theme is not one that comes up in popular game design. This breath of fresh air, despite my negative review, is something every designer should strive for. And we need games like Her Story. In a hobby obsessed with zombies, pirates, and superheroes, despite the atrocious gameplay, kudos to the developers for trying something fresh, something new. A board game that highlights the important contributions made by women doesn't overtly sound like an engaging theme, but not for nothing, it gives a voice to the voiceless. And that's awesome. I can only imagine the risk and ambition involved in making a game like Her Story a reality. But next time, let's focus on theme and gameplay. Okay, guys? Thanks. In closing, while Her Story, Iconic Women of History, is an absolute uninspired mess, it is, however, a step in the right thematic direction, influencing and shaping game design towards exploring the lesser known and underappreciated aspects of human existence. To paraphrase American journalist and activist Gloria Steinem, from a thematic standpoint, Her Story inspires individuals not to think that we need to make women fit the gaming world, but to think about making the world of gaming fit women. My name is Andrew Davidson. I hope I have given you something to think about.